You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hey guys, spoiler bonus episode time. How's it going? Out of the tablet in the other room. Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Chris. Now I'm just doing the opening of Killing Them Softly, which, oh, the applause, actually. Thank you.
I gotta make you feel important sometimes.
Oh boy, it's gonna be a long afternoon. Guys, we're doing a spoiler bonus episode on Rogue One. I'm not calling this movie Rogue One a Star Wars story anymore, because that's not what it's called in the movie. You notice that, Drew?
What?
Opening title of the movie?
Yes.
Rogue One.
Correct.
I was waiting to see if it was going to say a Star Wars story.
I'm really glad it didn't.
Yes, because it's a lame title.
I mean,
it's a lame subtitle.
I mean, I get it. Maybe, you know, the font they use wasn't Star Wars-y enough.
I thought it was fine.
And maybe all of the other nonsense. Maybe you couldn't tell it was a Star Wars movie, Chris, which is why they had to say a Star Wars movie.
It was so Star Wars-y. It was still like the most Star Wars-y thing ever. It even had the blue time ago in the Galaxy Far Far Away with the 4-dot ellipses, which is incorrect. They refuse to change it after all these years. They're sticking to their grammatical incorrectness.
Hell yes, man. Screw that.
They're like, if we do it enough times, it'll become correct. That's our co-host, Drew Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
We went and saw Rogue One, and we're going to talk about it in more depth here, in detail, as opposed to in episode 206, where we just give our non-spoilery, vague reviews of Rogue One. First off, Drew, like it? Yes, no? A, ups, thumbs down, middle?
Thumbs up. It was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was more in the vein of, like, Empire Strikes Back.
Darker.
A little darker.
Revenge of the Sith.
Exactly.
Revenge of the Sith and Rogue One, the only Star Wars movies to be PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't even realize that. I was sitting in the theater looking at the ticket in my hand and it said PG-13. And I was like, oh. Oh, yeah. I was like, no, more like, oh, I guess, yeah, because it's a war movie. It's supposed to be interesting. Yeah. You know what I haven't done?
What?
Gone back and watched the original trailer.
Oh, you mean all the scenes that didn't make the final movie?
Yes. Yes, there are already a bunch of articles and posts online about the stuff that's in the trailer and the marketing that never made it to the movie. Lines of dialogue and shots.
All of it.
A good amount. They did reshoot 40% of the movie.
I know.
Which is insane. And it was so anti-Trump. Remember that part where Donnie Yen was like, if they build a wall, we will chop it down with the force. And we will butt-fuck Donald Trump. Remember that part when they said that? When they reshot the movie?
He did say that.
Maybe that's
verbatim.
So that's why the movie's going to be the second biggest December opening weekend ever. That's the reason why it's failing at the box office.
Correct, because it's failing.
According to the alt-rights and the Nazis, the terrible people. Why did I even bother to bring that up?
Don't know.
This is some good...
Drink some more and forget your worries.
Oof. Is that you drink to forget?
Or you drink to remember?
I can't. I drink to...
Forget to remember?
I drink to keep the shakes at bay.
Okay, so you're just an alcoholic.
So, in Rogue One. yes, it is very dark and... there are dudes getting shot like point blank in the head, like stormtroopers that are on the ground, and like the rebels are they're cleaning up, like you'll see in a war movie. They just walk around with their pistol.
Dude, I mean, in the beginning of the movie, it's a straight up death squad coming from Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah,
like
the death squad shows up.
Like
I love that scene.
Fucking death squad. Oh, that scene was awesome when you see the back of them and Ben Mendelsohn's in the middle with his white cape and he's got the black troopers flanked on his side. Yeah. And they're just walking towards the settlement. It's like, oh, bad things are going to happen.
And it was like misty and gray.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is
all bad things.
An ominous beginning to a Star Wars movie that that ends on hope.
One thing I did like about it, though, there was one scene when they first showed the Super Star Destroyer. And I was like, that's a fucking model. I think it was, Chris.
I think it was an
actual model as opposed to this fucking CG garbage.
Yeah, it looked...
It looked real.
I think there was an emphasis on it. It did make me think, as a matter of fact, yeah. I didn't think that's a model, but my brain did go off on a little tangent about how... I was like, Star Wars movies, they used to have models and specific cameras, and they invented a camera rig that would do a roboticized movements, mechanical movements to make them seem real, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking that as I was looking at the shots of the Doom with the light revealing them slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you they are, Drew.
It's
weird how my brain didn't go that direction.
The first thing I saw was like, that's real. That is real shadow. That is a solid object. Yeah, that is shot not with CG.
Because in this movie, we could tell what was fucking CG.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Oh, my God, we could tell. Oh, Lord, can you tell? Okay, so the movie starts with Mads Mikkelsen. He works for the Empire, but he defected. Mm-hmm. And him and his wife are just living on a farm with their daughter, Jin. I never know how to say it. They said it 1,000 times. Uh-huh. I still don't know how to say her name. Jin Erso. And... like you said, Death Troopers show up with the Bendelsohn, who is my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's so good. He's doing his Bendelsohn thing, but it works for that context. He was just cast perfectly for that. I think it was awesome. They capture Mads, kill his wife, capture him, because he tries to kill Bendelsohn, so they shoot her down, bring him in. He's the one who comes up, helps makes the Death Star.
Yeah.
He's like him and the scientists for they're working for Ozymandias.
Exactly, yes.
When they rounded up the scientists at the end, these scientists are so dead.
So I thought the exact same thing.
I immediately thought, I had two Watchmen allegories, moments or whatever. Yeah. That, when they brought him out.
And you're like, oh, dead scientists.
Dead scientists, just like Ozymandias. At least Ozymandias gave him wine and had the pretense of like, I'm bringing you in on something.
Well, and here's the thing, too. He also did it in kind of a... You know, Ozymandias killed him in kind of, you know, a nice way. He just atomized them. Just like,
he poisoned them. In the movie, he atomized them.
In the book, he poisoned them.
In both, he poisons them, and then in the movie, he atomizes them. And then in the book, he just opens up the biodome, and they just get swallowed up by the Arctic or whatever. In this one, yes, he just like shoot them. So evil. And
well, that's the way the Empire rolls, bro.
And then at the end, jumped in. Like I said, this is a spoiler episode. Yeah. But like you said, we're talking about. You said it. Didn't I say it?
Yeah,
we said it. We're talking about all the spoilers, all the deets. At the end, which another thing I did like about the movie, everyone dies.
Every single person.
Everyone who fought for the cause died,
which is good.
I thought it was great. I think it gives the movie weight.
Yeah, exactly.
It gives it importance. Like, this is a story of all the people who gave their lives. So this little thing that's just literally a throwaway
line. And another thing that I really enjoyed about this movie, it finally explained why there was this tiny little area on the Death Star where if you shoot it, everything explodes.
They retrofit.
Because that was always one thing that really bugged me about the way the Death Star went down.
That bugs everyone, yeah. That's stupid. We found the weakness, and they went back.
At least they gave you a story behind it.
They found a way to work that in, which that was very smart.
Which is good.
That was very smart.
Because it made me feel better.
Because it turns out that Mads' character... built that in, and then he was the one trying to send out a series of messages. He's the one who started the series of messages that starts Star Wars. Obi-Wan, you're my only hope.
Exactly.
That gets to that point.
I mean, in all reality, Rogue One is... you watch Rogue One and then watch A New Hope, and it's just one story straight into the other.
It continues directly into it.
Directly into it.
But the tone will shift so hard.
Yeah, it was.
The tone will shift. Also, it will become a kids' movie again. And then there's an opening battle scene in Star Wars, A New Hope, where it's the Empire. They track down Leia's ship. They found her, and they're boarding. And there's like a shootout, pew pew pew, like down the hall, and just guys like popping out, pew pew pew, popping back, and it's so like static.
Yeah.
And then C-3PO and R2, it's a joke. They're like, we have to get through this hallway, and they look up and down, look this way, and then they
across. It's like a Benny Hill skit.
Exactly, and it's such a joke. So it would be very alarming to then go from like like war to like and then scoot across the hallway avoiding these terrible blasters. Pew 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 pew. so cheesy. Anyway. But yes, and then the other Watchmen thing, bringing it all back around. I didn't forget about that, guys. The other illusion, the other thing I saw was when, you probably thought, might have thought the same thing, when the Death Star is used to blow up the planet where all the rebels had broken into.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big final scene, and they're like, the Empire's just like, yeah, we'll just blow up the planet and get rid of all of them. There's the whole thing where it's like they already established it's kind of like a nuclear blast,
yes,
type deal at that level. So you see the wave coming, and the light.
You see the thing on the fucking horizon. It's just like, oh,
yeah, it's just this growing mass of like fire and energy just coming your way. So they're on the beach and they're like embracing, they're hugging because they've been through so much. Diego Luna and Jin Erso, what's her name, Felicity Jones, and as the light overtakes them and they're hugging and it becomes, you know, like that type of thing. It's totally done twice in Watchmen, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Watchmen's good, that's what I'm saying.
Watchmen is good.
I like Watchmen a lot.
It's fantastic. It's
good stuff. Okay. So back to Rogue One. The Kyber crystals. What do you think about that stuff?
The Kyber crystals were cool. I really liked...
that apparently is some sort of extended universe canon.
The blind Asian guy. What's his face?
Donnie Yen.
Yeah, Donnie Yen.
Who was he dubbed? His English is not that good.
No, I was about to say, it was immaculate. He had
almost like perfect... American English, and his English is fantastic.
But
his English is 1,000 times better than my Mandarin.
It sounded like him, though. So it was probably him dubbing his own voice.
Spending extra time doing ADR to let's get this right for some reason. Man, maybe. Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, he was awesome. He was one of the best characters.
Seriously, I really wish they had made him a Jedi. I really wanted him to have a fucking lightsaber.
You wanted to be one so bad. You wanted to be one.
He believed
in the Force.
Dude, he was one.
He believed
in
the Force. He really was. He could sense Kyber crystals.
No, exactly. He could sense Kyber crystals.
What powers the lightsabers, apparently?
Yes, exactly. And the Death Star. He could tell when people were lying.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, he was one with the Force. The Force is one with... First one with me.
That's what he kept saying, right? Yep. That was his mantra, which at first sounded really goofy. It was like goofy joke.
But then,
they kept using it.
Well, they kept using it, and as the movie progressed, like more and more people were dying, and things were getting crazier and crazier.
Yeah.
So, like, what at the end when he's just walking through everybody firing and just saying his mantra, like it.
I was like, is this going to work? Is this really going to work?
And it fucking worked.
I could easily see him getting shot right now. Yeah. Yes, I thought that. I was like, is he going to get shot? He could. I mean, how they're not hitting him. Mm-hmm. But the force? Was it the Force?
Yeah.
Was it damn luck? Or was it damn luck? Because of the Art of Force, midi-chlorian things?
Isn't it just both the same thing?
That midi-chlorian thing really fucked it all up. The whole coolness of the Force. Whatever. Trying to explain too much. He was great. He was great. And yes, everyone was dying. I was like, oh shit, is he gonna die? And then yes, he dies.
They all die. Vader murdered a bunch of people.
Dude, I loved that scene.
That scene was just,
I loved it.
I'm really glad that there wasn't more Vader in the movie.
I was happy with the amount of Vader.
Yes.
Pretty much two scenes.
But exactly. But that's all you needed, though. I mean, just the intro scene when he walks up, talks to Ben Mendelsohn, and then walks away and force chokes him.
Yeah.
Like, I was... The whole time, I was just like, yes!
don't choke on your aspirations.
Yeah.
Don't choke on your aspirations. That James Earl Jones.
I love hearing James Earl Jones' voice, too.
I think they treated the character great. I loved it. I did. Not a problem. It's just noticeable. And it happened. Same thing happened with the director's cut of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Let me explain that first, and then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. For the director's cut of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, they found 18 minutes of additional footage that got cut out for like commercial reasons at the time, trying to make the movie shorter.
Yeah.
But they put it back in, which made the movie almost an exact 3 hours, almost like perfect 3 hours. I love that movie so much. And they went and got Eastwood and Eli Wallach. Lee Van Cleef was dead, I think, so I'm not even sure what they did with that. But they got Eastwood and Eli Wallach, who were both respectively like 75 and 85.
Okay.
At the time of this DVD come out, because this was like 10 years ago. They got them to re-record their dialogue for all those missing scenes that they put back in, because all the dialogue was gone.
Yeah.
when you're like watching hell. The movie. Now, it doesn't sound like hell. It's just all of a sudden Clint Eastwood. It sounds a lot better. It's like he's talking like this, and then he's talking like this. He's
been smoking for an extra 30 years.
Yeah, or he's aged an additional. That movie came out in the mid-60s, so they recorded new dialogue
50 years later.
No. It was very noticeable. Same with James Earl Jones. It's his voice distinctively. But I was like, Vader sounds older.
Yeah, well, because Vader is older now.
Vader is much 40 years older than he was in the 70s. Uh-huh. Isn't that great? I did love the first shot of Vader, which was not the big reveal with the shadow.
The fucking body horror thing where he was in the fucking test tube with no limbs.
Yeah, he's in the tank and he's being suspended. And yes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is what he does when he's not in his suit.
Uh-huh. He just chills.
I also liked how Forrest Whitaker had his own version of that same suit.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
That's awesome.
He was fighting for the cause, but he was like the way that suit and his extremism represent like easily, like the rebel could easily become the Empire. Fidel Castro, the freedom fighter, instantly becomes Fidel Castro, the dictator who takes all the money and doesn't share, like, you know, pretty much like he said he would. Like he campaigned. Uh-huh. Like, you know, it's weird how some people campaign on something
and then they go back on
then
it.
Then do the complete opposite thing when they get in power. Oh, I wonder if anything like that. Nothing like that
will happen. No,
that won't happen. So that was like an interesting allegory, and maybe something that they could have even pushed at. That could have even been its own movie, like the whole Saul Guerrera, very obvious guys. His whole faction and the way him and the Alliance broke off because he was too extreme. Why was he too extreme? What was he? He's willing to like kill kids and or like how far was he willing to go for the
probably
cause and
very
all that?
Probably very far.
Right. So then what's the line on that? I feel like that's almost its own movie.
It could have been.
But like
who knows? Maybe
talk about getting into the minutiae.
Maybe there was more of that in the original
movie. Yes. Or the original screen.
I mean,
yes.
If we go back to that original trailer, I mean there was straight up a scene where they are all running on the ground. Away from AT-ATs.
On the beach
with the Death Star plans attached to her hip.
No shit.
They were there.
They got that far? They got off the beach with them instead of having to do some sort of satellite uplink thing?
Somehow they got to the beach with that thing.
Wow.
In the original version of that movie.
In this one, they had to like...
Also...
They had to transfer it up a tower and log into a satellite.
But here's the thing. Somehow that tower was involved as well because... You remember,
there's that shot of her walking towards something,
and
we're behind her, and she's like limping.
No, exactly, and she's walking towards the place to go.
To fix the satellite, realign it.
In the trailer, when she's walking forward to that in the movie, she's just walking into the blank sky. She's just walking towards it.
They didn't have anything CG.
There was a fucking TIE fighter. In the trailer.
In the trailer?
When she's walking towards it, all of a sudden this fucking TIE fighter rises up like in front of her.
Oh man, and that's not in there.
No.
Oh,
that's not in there either.
What was that movie?
I mean that whole monologue. Saul's monologue about, you know, what will you become?
Yes.
You know, what you know.
The original trailer made it seem like the movie would have a lot to do with Jyn Erso, whether or not she would actually end up fighting for the dark side.
Yeah.
For the Empire.
Well, no. Well,
it seemed like her allegiance.
Whether she was actually part of the rebellion or not.
Yes, because of the way her father worked for the Empire, and then he designed the Death Star. And I can see that. So was that like the original angle, and they cut that back? Like, we don't want to be wishy-washy on our hero. We want our hero to be the hero.
Maybe.
As opposed to the whole time wondering whether or not she's a good guy.
No.
I wonder if that's what they changed.
Perhaps.
Yes, because that whole thing is gone. Like, what you do? Yeah, from the show.
Exactly.
That's the way he was talking. This thing will make you lose your mind.
You know, that whole whatever not existed anymore.
So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta watch that trailer again.
So much. So much from the trailers never made it into the movie.
I liked how when we introduced the Diego Luna fighting for the rebellion, he met up with that one guy who gave him the information, and they were like, he was freaking out, and then the stormtroopers were coming.
And he's like, I can't climb, and he's like, sucks for you. And he fucking shoots
and
him.
And he shoots him in the back. He's like, it's gonna be fine. And he shot him in the back. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when they're like, the Alliance doesn't seem like they're gonna follow through and back up
Jyn
Erso, and he shows up, he's like, yo, we've done a lot of fucked up shit. We're not just gonna like
out
now.
Yeah. We did a lot of fucked up shit for this cause.
This can't be for nothing.
The only way that I cannot go crazy and kill myself for the crap I've done is to make this rebellion work? Because if not, then I'm just a murderer.
Become some sort of a space junkie, to soothe the pain.
Exactly.
Because these people have done some fucked up shit. Yeah. This movie explores some interesting things about what is ostensibly a franchise of children's films. Because they are all almost exclusively PG.
They are.
Toys and cartoons, and this is kid stuff, but this movie is not for kids.
No, it's not. This is more the adult side.
It's teenagers and up.
Darker
thrills.
These are the stories that, you know, once you saw the Star Wars movies, you were like, well, what about this? And what about that? Yeah. And I mean, there's a throwaway line here, but that sounds like a crazy fucking story.
Yeah. And it's crazy. The dude who was like, who does visual effects and stuff, he's the one who came up with he thought of the opening line, the opening thing in Star Wars, these rebels stole the plans.
Yeah.
It's like, rebels? Who are these rebels? Who are these people? And apparently they're all a bunch of martyrs.
Yeah, exactly, because they did some crazy shit. They killed a bunch of people and then they all died.
100% of them died, which is crazy. Yeah.
There were, I like in this movie how, there were characters from the Star Wars franchise that you know. At one point in time, you see C-3PO and R2 hanging out at the Rebel base. Because in all reality, that's probably where they were before they went.
No. Were they? Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. Oh, that confused me. Because I was like, in Star Wars, there's that whole time where they were at the Jawas, but that happens after the crash.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That threw me for a loop for a second.
Well, because remember, they were
That felt unnecessary.
Because technically, they must have been on the same ship that Leia was.
Yes, they were.
Because
she gave them the plans. Yeah. Absolutely, they had to be there.
And we saw Leia get the plans. CG fucking weird ass.
So, that Uncanny Valley type shit, man.
Yeah. Well,
I'd rather get some clever shooting, like only see Leia, but it's like at the back of her head.
Who is the other character? Yeah, who is the other character?
Grand Moff Tarkin. Yeah, or whatever exactly. His name is.
Yeah, that guy's totally dead. And then when I saw because it shows you the back of him first.
You see his back. I was looking, his reflection in the glass.
And you hear his voice, and so you know who it is. And then he turns around and it's like CG face.
It's like, whoa, so CG. It's like, this guy's so CG. Like, this is how far as they got with it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you guys didn't look at this and were like, no, this is fine.
You know,
have been working on that. Like, the movie came out on Thursday. They better have been like Wednesday night at midnight. This is as best as you can do. Like, one more render. This is it. God damn it. All right, send it out to 4,000 screens in North America. They're all going to see your shitty work, Greg. You fucked up, Greg. Greg is like, man, I haven't seen my kids in 4 months.
Shut up!
You fucked up, Greg. I'm just trying to look up this. I want to see how they pulled off this guy's voice because he's dead.
Yeah.
That's why they did this
thing. But it sounded just like him.
It did sound just like him. I mean, I guess linguists, you know, they get what's his name. Guy had the TV show Calantoni? No. Enrico? No. What's his name? The Italian guy? The short fat guy? He had a show on TBS for a minute. He does a lot of John Madden. He's like, boom. He's all about doing that. Every sentence he says, boom. And he's like, that's a great John Madden. Let's talk about that K2SO.
K2SO is awesome.
K2. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was very snarky.
I thought so. Saw Gerrera.
He was, I mean, and he was delightfully Gerrera. British.
He was. But it was Alan Tudyk. Is he British or is he American?
I don't know.
He's from El Paso, Texas.
Well, they gave him a...
He does have a bit of an accent. Yeah. So does 3PO.
Well, no,
they have, like, affectations in a way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
he was sort of
comic relief.
It's like, what if C-3PO was just an asshole?
Just an asshole. Instead of whiny.
Yeah.
He was just a dick.
I mean, because that's pretty much what K2 was. He was just a dick. And he kicked a lot more ass, too.
He did kick a lot of ass.
And he sacrificed himself in the end. That was pretty bitchin'.
Even he died.
Yeah. He got shot to shit.
They even killed a, quote, cute robot of the
dude,
movie.
Dude, he... And that cute robot straight up murdered, like, 30 people.
It murdered people, smashed people, and then it died for the cause.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah, it was.
It's pretty wild for a Star Wars movie. Now we're getting to engineers. I'm trying to find a voice. I'm not. Look, Google it. You.
What's with
you Google it at home?
What's with Star Wars movies and people falling down giant shafts?
Oh, that's the thing. It's gonna happen.
At least once to one character in every movie.
Diego Luna, right? Yeah. Look at him. He fell like partway down.
No, exactly.
When he was going down, I was like, oh.
No, exactly. Okay. Yeah, no. He starts falling, and I'm like, oh, that's the end. Yet another Star Wars character falls to the great abyss.
Yeah, but he got stopped. He hit a ledge. I'm like, oh, just hope for him. Yet.
Still, how many Star Wars characters are going to fall down
it's a good
giant
running,
chasms?
It's a running motif. It's a good
it
one.
It really is.
And also the whole, you're on a ship. And you're trying to fly through something and something's closing, whether it's a gate or an animal mouth, or in this case, two like asteroids or something about to slam.
Oh,
together.
You know, oh man, you know what was it? Speaking of things slamming into each other,
when they pushed one Star Destroyer into the other one,
that was awesome
that
too.
Was great, but and it split in half.
No, like when they first, someone was trying to leave at one point in time. I think maybe it was in the middle of the movie, but they, like. The rebels are trying to leave, and all of a sudden, the Empire is like on them, and like they're trying to go out of hyperspace.
Oh yeah!
While the Empire just comes out from hyperspace,
they
start crashing into
each
other.
Yeah, one of them they crashed into.
Oh,
yes,
fucking awesome.
Oh shit, that was hysterical. Yeah. There's a lot of things in the movie where like I like that stuff, but then there are things like the CG characters. I hated the CG character. Yeah, it was so distracting.
I hated the CG characters
every
too.
Time he was on screen, he was talking. Oh. I was barely listening because I was looking at him like.
So fake.
Did they ask was Ben Mendelsohn standing next to someone in a giant green sock?
Maybe.
Was he looking at a tennis ball? Like, like Mendelsohn, like times 10 for that, man. He had to work on some bullshit where they're like, they couldn't even bother to just find an old man and give him makeup.
Yeah.
Just find an old man and give him makeup.
Seriously.
Like, it doesn't have to be that exact. We're forgiving. We're movie audiences. We're not fucking.
Or hell, I mean, technically,
goddamn
this
children.
Happened, this happened just before A New Hope, so he could be. You know, like 3 days younger.
He could be 3 days younger.
Find a new guy and make him old.
Find a
young guy and make him old.
Find a guy. I mean, for real. Makeup would have been... Makeup...
I would have rather
general seen, like this would have been better than trying to do a CGI exactly.
I would... Exactly. I would have rather seen the practical effects.
Yeah, and or maybe just smart shooting. Like, the shot of him looking in... When he sees his reflection...
The reflection... Seriously, I thought... I was like, ooh.
I bet you the shot from behind is a real person. And then he turns around and becomes CG person. Yeah. I bet you that happened. Because the shot of Leia from behind, that looks real. When it's just her fabric...
Yeah.
And then she turns around. It's like, whoa.
Oh, hey there, CG face.
Whoa, green face that got turned into... I feel like if I reached out and touched her face, it would be like digital putty.
Yes.
Like, I could still form it. Like, they took it out of the oven too early.
Still proofing.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I gotta say, though, like, two-thirds of the way through the movie... and I think I know sort of why this is. There may be some more plot stuff that I have to look into, like, you know, rewatch or something. But two-thirds of the way through the movie, I was ready for it to move on. Like, before it got to the final battle.
Yeah.
Like, what happened before that? But between the Saul Guerrero stuff, and I guess all the, like, the Alliance talking and the jibber-jabbering, like, will they, won't they? It was like, I was bored. I was like, let's go. Let's get to the end of this. Let's get this movie over with already. Because... Despite the fact that all the characters were dying and giving the movie more weight that way, I never at any point once ever doubted that they were going to lose. The movie hinges on all the other Star Wars existing.
Exactly, yes.
This isn't alternate reality Star Wars.
No.
Episode 4 starts with the Rebels steal the Death Star.
Exactly.
The plans were the Death Star. They stole it.
Yeah, you know that they got the plan, so it's just about how.
It's all about
and
the how.
Does anybody survive?
So the suspense of that to, we got to get the plans here, we got to do that, we got to get the uplink, this has to happen, that has to happen, blah, 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 blah. It's like...
We know it's going to happen.
Like, it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. They should have just, like, had it happen, and then... The last 10 or 15 minutes been about, like, well, will these characters survive? Because I was slightly invested in the characters. So it was cool finally seeing, you know, Diego Luna was holding it down. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
He was that great type of rebel spy rapscallion. Like, if this guy wasn't a rebel, he'd probably be, like, a fucking criminal.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the way it works.
In some ways, it is, actually.
I mean,
that's
she,
how you get
she
out.
Was straight up broken out of, she was straight up broken out of jail.
Out of Imperial jail. Who knows what she was in for? It could have been sedition against the Empire.
They read all her charges. That was in the... whatchamacallit.
In the trailer,
too. They actually used that part.
Okay, I don't remember their charges. was all against the Empire. It's like, you hate the Empire.
Yeah, it was like forging of Imperial documents.
Yeah. Because you're fighting the man. Yeah. Like, you're in here because you're fighting the man. Mm-hmm. You want to keep fighting the man with us? All right, let's go fight the man together. Let's get out of this jail. Yeah, so I was like, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm not, like, in total suspense. Maybe that's why I was, like, kind of ready for it to be over. I wanted it to be a little quicker.
I mean, it was fun watching, you know, three planets get destroyed.
A lot of planets got destroyed. A lot of people died of this.
Every time I watch a planet get destroyed in Star Wars, I think of the Family Guy Star Wars, and where after the Death Star blows up the first planet, it's just a little two guys sitting there. Ooh, the Jedi are going to feel that one.
Ooh.
Hey, ooh. Because, you know, they're the connected to the Force. They can feel it all. Billions of people die.
The Force. The Force is along with me. We are the Force. We are the world. We are the world.
Dragon Force.
I was thinking about Dragon Force today.
Dragon Force is awesome.
I was thinking, like, I could go for some sweet guitar licks.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff we're missing.
I mean, of course.
I like all the actors. Out. Everyone was good. I thought Forrest Whitaker was pretty good.
There were,
fun. That's how I talked the whole time.
It was fun seeing, like I said, besides, I mean, C-3PO and R2, there was,
Who else popped up?
The random...
Fucking Dr. Papadou and, what are these guys' names? They have the most ridiculous names.
Yeah, those guys, the dude who gets his arm chopped off in A New Hope by Obi-Wan.
He's like,
see him in the beginning.
Like, he doesn't like your face. Like, I don't like you either. Like, those guys, that's so shoehorned.
You see them, yeah.
It bumps into Diego Luna, right?
Yep.
You see... Dr. Evison is Dr. Cornelius Evison. No, is that him? God damn it. Yeah, Dr. Evison and Ponda Baba.
Mm-hmm. You see them?
Ponda Baba was the penis nose guy. Yeah. And Dr. Evison was the dude with the crazy eyes. He's like, I don't like you either. And then this one, he's like, you want to start something? Guys, he's always trying to start something.
Yeah.
And he's the one who gets his arm cut off, right?
Yep.
That's right. Yeah. So he's on his way to get his arm cut off.
He is.
Eventually. How is he a doctor? Dr. Cornelius Evison was a male human from Alaskan. Oh, my dyslexia kicked in there for a second. Sorry, guys. He is a human, but his homeworld is Alsakin. He's a male, hair color black and gray, eye color blue, skin color fair.
No backstory.
No, I just got a fucking popped up.
What kind of doctor he is? Did he go to medical school?
I was about to get that part and a fucking ad popped up. He was a male human from... God damn it. He was a male human from Alsakin, who was a promising cosmetic surgeon until he became goddamn ads. I'm serious. What website is it so I can call you out? Fandom? Powered by Wikia? Yeah, it sounds like a bunch of garbage. Sounds like your web can... Dr. Evison was a male human from blah, blah, blah. He began practicing creative surgery on his patients, leaving his victims horrifically disfigured. After information concerning his cruel medical experiments came to light, his face was hideously scarred in an encounter with a bounty hunter. The aqualish thug Ponda Baba rescued Evison from the hunter, following which the two formed an uneasy partnership and began smuggling spice for the Hutt crime lord Jabba the someone. Not Jabba the Hutt, though. Maybe it's Jabba the Hutt. Jabba the... Turi's got a crazy name?
Sure.
Might be Jabba the Hutt. Wanted men, Evison assumed the aliases of Rufo, and Baba became known as Saki, oh my god, this keeps going.
There's a whole lot of information from books, remember, that all got stricken out of canon.
Christ almighty. Well, he was a doctor, and he did cosmetic surgery, and he went crazy and disfigured a bunch of people, and he hangs out with Ponda Baba.
And then he gets his arm chopped off.
He fucking crossed the wrong dude. He finally crossed the wrong dude. Diego Luna almost shot him between the eyes, but he's like, I got shit to do. What's more bigger than you?
Obi-Wan Kenobi will get you later.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is like, I gotta see my boy here. I gotta see my homie, Skywalker. I'm told to watch out for him. Yeah, they show up. C-3PO, they show up. Grand Moff Tarkin's CG looks horrible. Princess Leia...
CG looks even worse. Impossible.
Looks like a pumpkin face.
Yeah, Vader killed a bunch of people. That was awesome.
I love how he killed a bunch of people. I hated how his cape looked like they just pulled it out of the package.
They probably did.
They did. They did for sure. 100%. His suit was never worn before, unless Darth Vader.
You know, here's
has a whole bunch of capes that he wears like fresh every day. Is that type of dude?
I mean, nobody thinks about this stuff, Maybe the costume designer does, but I guarantee you it's not even the same fabric that was used in whatever.
Yeah, right? It's a wonder. Ooh, could they find the... They probably had the reference.
Still, dude, it doesn't... It's a new fabric. It's a different fabric. The way things are woven, like you can...
Look thinner.
Exactly. Looked more like, you know, polyester, but it was less like cotton.
It was a total badass shot when the rebels are like, the door stuck and they turn around and they just, it's just
all,
darkness.
Yeah, and then all, then you see, you hear, yeah, and you see the red blade. It's like, oh shit.
And you see Darth Vader in the red.
It's like, oh shit.
He's gonna fucking fuck them up.
Yeah, he does. And they all start shooting and he just starts whipping all their fucking lasers right back
around. And he chokes them and slams around the walls and ceilings and cuts them down.
Force push.
Yeah. I was like, man, Vader's killing these motherfuckers. That was great. I thought it was a lot of fun. Overall, I think it was a good movie. It's quite good. I enjoyed it. It's definitely Star Wars. It's definitely not for kids. It's
I want more Star Wars not for kids.
Which you'll get, I'm sure. This will make a bunch of money, so Disney's going to be fine with greenlighting more PG-13 Star Wars stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if the Han Solo movie gets PG-13.
Yeah.
We're talking Lord Miller.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
They've worked in PG, they've worked in R, they've done it all. They've done network TV, they've run the gamut, so if anyone can do it, it's them.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. He's a goddamn drug smuggler.
He's a goddamn drug smuggler. He's fucking drugging smugs. For being the first Disney produced like spinoff movie, I think it's I would call it a success. I think it's pretty
definitely.
Good. Yeah. Good job, Gareth Edwards.
Congratulations, buddy.
Director of Monsters and Godzilla.
I do want to see the other version though.
So why? I want to know. Oh, so much.
Because I saw the trailer for a different movie, Chris.
Yeah, we got sold a bill of goods. Fortunately, this movie was still all right.
Yeah.
What if it sucked? I'm like, God, give us the other movie. You motherfuckers, you ruin everything Disney. No, it was pretty good. People should see it, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I guarantee they've seen it already. I mean,
well, that's the point of the spoiler bonus episode. In case you haven't noticed, we mentioned all the people that died and stuff, so... Which is everyone.
Everyone.
Anything else we could spoil specifically that we didn't spoil? Spoilery? No, right? Darth is Luke's dad.
Oh, who's the...
Jimmy Smith shows up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, saw some Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, and he's like, I know just the person. I trust her with my life. Like, I know he's Spanish and he's been in the Star Wars movies, but, like, he was never, like, actually doing shit.
You know?
Like, Diego Luna was, like, out there doing shit.
Well, no, exactly. Like, he was just a senator. He was just, you know, just kind of in the movies.
Well, like, whatever, dude. Yeah. Diego Luna was like, oh,
whatever. Like,
I'm a Latino in space and I'm a rascal.
It's good to see him in the movie. And, you know, it kind of helps, you know, bring it all together when you got, you know, some of the characters from the other movies.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But it makes all the connections work. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. All right, well, I guess that's it. If you have your Rogue One opinion, send them to us, cinemacrispedizo@gmail.com. We'll read them on the show.
Hell, maybe you already have.
Maybe you already have. We'll read them on episode 206, 207, and beyond. Drew, where can people find you online?
At antihero419, all over the internet.
And hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, the show at Crespedizo, and Facebook is Cinema Crespedizo, same as the Instagram. We are out of here. Talk to you guys soon.